breathe deep, now let it. Talk radio, on the Max and Friends talk show, where I can be free. Talk radio, on the Max and Friends talk show.
Friends, Sunday Supper. I'm Jennifer English, guest hosting for the incomparable Max Tucci. And each and every Sunday, Max has for about 15 years welcomed you to his table, as is his legacy. Of course, it was his grandfather, Oscar Tucci, who, as the host of Delmonico's Ghost, welcomed all to his table. Joining me tonight is my very good friend. He is the founder of the Mezcal Hotels. He's also a writer, an editor, an artist, and a luxury design and style guru. And he is literally reporting live from under the Empire State Building in the Akash Empire. He is Akash Patel. He's joining me tonight to talk about, among many other things, new, old, welcoming, hospitality. It's still Pride Month. And we're hoping that Max Tucci will do a little drop-in in just a few minutes. But I wanted to start by saying, everyone, let's just take a deep breath. And let's get grounded to a place where everything is going to feel peaceful and joyful, and where we can cultivate true conviviality. Take a deep breath. We'll do it one more time. And may everything that we bring together today to this table be for the greatest good of all concerned, and may we let go of anything that no longer serves us. We'll have goodie bags at the end. They will serve us. From his perch high atop Manhattan, Akash Patel, how are you?
I am well. Hi, Jennifer.
So now, you are in your new studio in Manhattan, literally under the glow of the Empire State Building. Paint a picture of June, Pride Month in New York City, for people who are all over the country and in Los Angeles and elsewhere on LA Talk Radio, listening to us and sharing this time with us, because not everybody has the luxury and the privilege of getting to literally be in the glow of the Empire State Building as you are right now. You sent me a picture and it looked utterly magical, and I wanted to hear more about it. Tell me about the Empire State Building and your new studio.
So I am in the midst of a huge transformation, actually, because I'm leaving my home that is on the same avenue about 14 blocks south to go like 14 blocks north, which doesn't seem like it's that far. It's on the same avenue. But the differences are so drastic that I'm still adjusting. And I'm actually sitting in the studio, you know, like there's, the furniture has not arrived. There's a lot to be done. And it's so new and fresh that the view is the star. And the view is spectacular. I only saw the view for the first time at night last night. Today, you know, like in the daytime, it is filled with light that you cannot even imagine. The amount of light that shines in is truly inspirational and like makes it a happy, joy-filled, inspiring place. And then on top of it, as you mentioned before, there's the glow at night of the Empire, and you can see all the way, because we're talking about being 20 floor, 21 floors high and looking all down at Southern Manhattan. So if you even squint a bit, you might be able to see like one of the bridges. It's really, really spectacular. And at night it lights up. And, you know, how obstructed something is really important. But it's been really exciting and dynamic to have experienced this. And this is happening live as we speak.
Talk to me about transformation. We are in a period of time right now of transformation in a lot of different ways. I'm really eager to hear about how, as we're coming to mid-year, as we're coming to the summer solstice, as we're discovering what comes next, I've been learning from you as you've been going through this transformation. And I was hoping we could talk a little bit about transformation and how change, though scary, can actually be one of the most exhilarating and positive experiences one can have. Has it felt transformative for you? And have you approached it as an opportunity for transformation, or has it been an unintentional transformation?
Well, you know, like, I think the topic of transformation, as you mentioned, Jennifer, is really, really complex, because it sounds like one can say it in words, but when you think about what's required to actually transform, it's extremely intense. It's not easy at times. And what it really means is trying to think about, like, what have you done? How do you do things? What are you going to do? What are you going to give up? And what are you going to take on? And you know, one of my favorite words is liminal. So it's really, transformation is entering a liminal space where you take the past ideas and you let them go. And you might not know what you're going towards. So that can be scary because it's really unknown. And I think what I've learned through this particular transformation, as I'm still in it, is understanding how much change you decide to do at once and how much that can overwhelm you, because change comes in many forms. So like it reflects our routine, our behavior, and how we feel comfort. And so if you introduce too much change, it might be that it's actually like too intense. And I think in thinking about the choices to make in changing and being transformative, I've made sure to keep enough things that are familiar to be comfortable without changing everything, so that there is still a sense of identity.
One of the things that's so powerful about the opportunity for change is when it's intentional versus, I'm going to say, divine. When things happen that were unintended, and when an opportunity arises, and choosing to make it a positive or choosing to make it a challenge. Have you found that you have intentionally and deliberately encountered things that could literally be taken either way, like go either way, either a challenge or a positive choice, and chosen to make it a positive choice?
Well, I think everything is like that. I think it's really about mindset, right? I think the way that you approach something, whether you're scared, whether you're excited, whether you're anxious, like nervous, there's so many different emotions to go through. And so if you're cognizant of the emotions you feel, then you can think about like how to accept them, maybe understand them, and then also like move on. And I think understanding, like when you go through a lot of change, like one of the things I've been particularly paying attention to is, what am I going to miss from the things that I'm giving up? And the answer for me was, if I can find something when I'm going through a change that's exciting, and that I look forward to, that that's going to make me forget about the thing that's missing, right? So it doesn't matter what it is. And I think for me in this is I found this view that I've been in New York City for a long time. I've had a lot of friends that have had it. I've given up a lot of things, but the view is so spectacular. And like I said in the beginning, like inspirational and dynamic and all these other things, that what it does in terms of exciting myself as well as even other people, that makes one forget about anything of the past that might be missing, and where you could compare and think, oh, I'm missing that thing, and I'm, you know, and I'm sad, as opposed to, wow, I have something new and I'm occupied by it. And I'm now even more curious. So I actually don't have room for that sadness. Uh-oh, I think we had a dead moment. So as I was saying, Jennifer.
Hi.
There you are.
So I want to talk about the fact, let's talk about something really exciting. Let's talk about the fact that you are a Mezcal expert. You are a design, style, and cannabis luxury guru. And you have been exploring your new neighborhoods in search of the best mezcal cocktails in New York City. And as the columnist for Proof Magazine for The Art of Agave, every issue you explore what's going on in the world of agave spirits. But let's be fair, you really do love mezcal better than anything else. So we tend to love reading about your mezcal adventures. Let's talk about the summer that is here, and that mezcal is not only on everybody's lips, but it's on everybody's bar back and menu in a way that I don't think I've seen it before. Is this the mezcal summer? Is it going to be the mezcal margarita summer?
Well, it's always the mezcal margarita summer, but I think the attention of the spirit is growing because people are like starting to learn, and just with the way, you know, you can get information through digital platforms and so much sharing. I think there's a lot more people who are seeking out agave spirits, mezcal being, you know, a major one, or actually mezcal being all agave spirits, but then having other ones even like sotol and tequila. But I think, you know,
you've been in New York a long time, and you were part of the party scene when you were first in New York as a student at NYU,
yeah, like the club kids.
You were part of the club culture that is like the de facto club culture. You've been going out and watching the happenings for a while. Have you seen mezcal emerge? Like, put it in perspective, because you weren't drinking mezcal 20 years ago, were you?
No, I mean, like, you know, like, but I've evolved in my own consumption of spirits. And like, I'm somebody now that really one of the reasons I really love mezcal is because I like to savor like flavor, right? And I've gotten to really enjoy like the things that pair well with it, like citrus, like pineapple, like orange. You know, there's many, many different flavors that go together. The salt. Like, I think obviously, you know, when we think about agave spirits, margaritas are often like a go-to. But like one of the things today, you know, this show airs often on Sundays, among other days. And one of the things I thought today being a Sunday is, you know, I'd love a Bloody Maria. And which is a mezcal version of a Bloody Mary. And there's so many ways, like if you think about just that cocktail in itself, there's so many ways to garnish it and celebrate it and really elevate it. And what I love is like the way you can take anything and make it to art, right? When you elevate something and you make it aesthetically, visually, even from a functionality or in food and beverage, like from a taste, at the top level of excellence, that is luxury and that is wellness and it is savoring. And I think all of these things converge. And, you know, being like happy and enjoying is good health. So I like how all these things tie together. And I also really even like how, you know, agave as a plant is really part of plant medicine, just as cannabis is too, right? We're talking about plants and, you know, how they have healing properties.
All right, let's talk about where you're finding exciting Mezcal moments in New York City, because you and I are colleagues, and I literally get a front row seat to the excitement of your experience as you go to some of the best places in the world. You go to bars that are literally on the list of the 100 best bars in the world. You are served by some of the top mixologists in the world, and it's always interesting to hear about your adventures, because they do two things. You teach us about what the spirit of hospitality is like right now and what the standard is for great service, and then we get to live vicariously through your delight when it is well deserved. And you've been delighted more often than not lately, and so I was hoping you would share with us where you've been going in New York and what kinds of things are really tickling your fancy in the Mezcal moment that we're sharing.
Well, I love this question because it's an opportunity to put two things together, right? Excellence in terms of craft, but then also excellence with people and how they behave and kindness and things, right? So I typically like that when those two things align, because it's wonderful to be able to be with wonderful people that do wonderful things. So one place that I've been really, really excited to have gone several times is the Ivory Peacock, which is in the Flatiron Nomad District. And, you know, I was a little actually skeptical at first because it's a hot spot. It's got, you know, really great design. It's got a couple different lounges in it. It's unique. It's got great food.
It's super buzzy. I mean, I'm way out west.
Yeah, but I typically...
And I read about it all the time.
I typically find when something is hyped, often it's hard because then you're more skeptical to like think about it. And for me, what I really like is it's delivered, right? So like I've gone several times and I think the service is fantastic. The attention to detail. They have staff that really loves what they're doing. You know, there's a one particular mezcal drink that they have on their cocktail. It's called Hot and Bothered. And it's got that, you know, that spicy kind of, you know, like really wonderful flavor profile of well-balanced and... that's just my absolute, I love that cocktail. They've got a couple other different ones. They're really good at, you know, like even making custom cocktails. If somebody says like what the spirit, they really focus in gin, but they're really good. Daniel, who is the head bartender there, is just spectacular. He's got such a knowledge. And you know what I love watching? Like he is an artist, like in terms of like, when you watch him stir three beverages at the same time, and this back bar that's called the Emerald Bar. The Emerald Bar has really wonderful chairs. You know, the whole place is so aesthetically wonderful from the, like, it makes you want to experience everything from the senses. There's a downstairs lounge that's got, you know, DJs. We've become friends with one of the DJs that comes there. It's a really warm spot and the cocktails are wonderful. It's in a great neighborhood. Tobin Ellis designed some of the downstairs. You know, he's done some of the really wonderful best designs. So I just really had a pleasure to slowly discover it and then really appreciate the consistency. There's several other places too, but that's one that I've gone a few times that really has delivered and it's got like a big buzz about it.
I love hearing you talk about that, A, because I'm a friend of Tobin Ellis. He and I have known each other for a couple of decades from Tales of the Cocktail. I think he's enormously talented. When I hear you talk about a place like that, it makes me wonder if you were going to create a space and design a bar and create a menu. Is Ivory Peacock the kind of place you would design of all the places? Because as the founder of Mezcal Hotels, you know, this is what you do. Which of the places is the place that you wish you had designed?
You know, I love when hospitality reflects the local place, but then still has an identity that is consistent, right? So a lot of companies do this. Like I think Virgin Hotels sometimes does that. Ace Hotels, people, like different companies are localized. But what I really love is something that looks aesthetically modern on a first glance, but then when you really pay attention, there's something ancient about it.
Oh, yet, interesting.
Yet when you first look at it, you're going to say like it's a glass tower or something, right? But then you might realize like, oh, the shape that it is or the curvature of it mimics something else from the past and it's inspired. So I like that mixing because I just love, you know, having juxtaposition where there's things that are unexpected that go together.
So where have you found that? Have you, I mean, I love that you describe it that way. What of the places that you've been going to, are you feeling drawn back to because it really speaks to your aesthetic, like where you really feel like you enjoy being?
You know where I went recently? I went to the Mercer, like La Mercerie, which is from the Roman and Williams Guild. And they've designed many, many beautiful spots, everything from the Freehand Hotel to the Veronica restaurant that's at the Fotografica Museum. I think I said that right.
Yeah.
And, you know, so like they have a very old world regal aesthetic of mixing as well. So I really liked it there. I thought that was, we actually ate outside and went for brunch. It was the most amazing quiche I've ever had in my life.
You told me that when you had it. And I was like, I don't remember the last time someone told me they had quiche.
It was the texture of it. It was like, you know, melting. Like you talked about the Empire glow of being right next to the Empire State Building. There was something just as magical about the texture of the quiche that kind of like, you know, like made it like almost in every category where quiche is not a dessert, but because of the texture, it felt like a dessert. It felt decadent.
Like, you know, a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And you know, when you get, like I said, like when things are excellent, it makes you happy because it's almost like you get to celebrate where you're just like, wow, this is so fantastic. I can't believe somebody cares this much about this thing that they took this much time to perfect it to achieve this kind of result.
That is such a powerful point to pause at. This is Max and Friends. It's our Sunday supper. I'm Jennifer English, guest hosting for Max Tucci. Our guest is the one and only Akash Patel. He is broadcasting live tonight from the glow of the Empire in New York City. We're going to take a break in a couple of minutes. And when we do, we will reset this imagination of ours towards the future of the hospitality industry. We're also going to talk about the fact that it's Pride Month. There's a lot going on in the news relative to Pride's going on. And more than anything else, as we prepare to listen to ancestors, which is Max's tradition, I have to point out that it is my own grandmother, Ida Sawyer. It would be her birthday today. She's been gone since 1998. But today, as always, she is here and alive and well and present. And I'm going to raise my glass and share her famous toast, which she shared when she went out with her friends, which she shared with her kids and with everyone, because she had real joy and she knew how to have real fun and she knew how to cultivate conviviality. She was a wonderful hostess and cook, and she was one of my most beloved people of all time. She would raise her glass and she would clink it, and it came from the movie Sweet Charity. She would say, as she clinked her glass, "Up yours!" And whoever else was in the toast with her, they would come back and double it. So, Nana, may you be enjoying a doublet of joy and peace and love. And remember how much we all love you. We're going to take a quick break. This is Max and Friends Sunday Supper on LA Talk Radio. We'll be back right after this from Ancestors.
Oh, I will not fear. I will not fear. No, no. Guide me.
I love that. Welcome back to Max and Friends. It's Sunday Supper here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Jennifer English, guest hosting for Max Tucci, and my guest and good friend Akash Patel joins us from the other side of the country, the other coast, under the glow of the Empire State Building from his brand new studios in Manhattan in New York City. Akash Patel, welcome back.
Thank you, Jennifer. I think I have a little bit of an echo, but not that bad.
Not too bad. So I have to tell you, I poured a tiny sip of mezcal because I had to revisit the smoky wonder and all of the artisanal qualities that you were speaking about. And it's not that other spirits don't have that. Many do. But most of the products that most of us encounter are not craft spirits. And there's something about mezcal that requires all mezcals to be craft. It hasn't become a industrial production yet, even big brands. And so what's so interesting about listening to you talk about how the way that the art of the mezcalito ends up in your sip, in your connoisseur's cup in New York City, requires us to really appreciate just how much goes into the respect for the spirit and then turning it into an extraordinary cocktail. No, it's like not burning a beautiful piece of food. You don't want to ruin it. You want to glorify it. You want to celebrate it. You've been doing a really interesting thing by going around and finding those mixologists who really honor and celebrate the mezcaleros from Mexico who produce these mezcals. And what's been very interesting to listen to you and to watch in your experience with this is how much you appreciate how different a cocktail experience it is than a martini or a, you know, an espresso martini. It's been really interesting to see you appreciate the artists and the follow through all the way to the end of the sips. That's been fascinating to me to listen to you talk about. Have you been aware and appreciative of that, or has it really sort of emerged as a trend in your experience, or did you go out seeking people who are doing this, or are you surprised to find it?
Oh, no, I definitely seek it because I think it's, like I said before, you know, if someone is intentional about what they're seeking and what they're making or doing, then they're going to create something that's exceptional. Right. And I really value that. So it actually, as you were speaking, I was thinking about all the words you were saying and like what resonated. I thought of another person, as I mentioned before, right? There's a place called The Cabinet, which is on Avenue C in Alphabet City, very, very far East Village. And Avenue C is, you know, Avenue A, B, C has really changed over the last couple decades. And Avenue C used to be considered like very dangerous where people didn't want to live there. And it's all like, I mean, you know, beautiful, like really, really like amazing kind of places. And a lot of the hospitality in that neighborhood feels more mom and pop and less corporate, right? So that's something that's really nice about there. That neighborhood's not connected by transportation as easily, like in terms of subway. So it's got that neighborhood feel. But what I love about The Cabinet is they literally have 400 mezcal. Like 400 mezcals. Like, I mean,
and if I'm not mistaken, that's more than anybody else in the country offers at the moment.
Yes, I would suspect that they may be like, you know, the largest, if not one of the, you know, contenders. But the owner, I believe his name's Greg, and he's also the owner of Cocktail Kingdom. It comes from his passion, right? Anybody that is seeking out that kind of comparison critique, there, you've got to love the thing to keep exploring more and more and want to go deeper, right? So they've got different things that you'll find like in water bottles with tape that are like from different mezcaleros. They do a lot of education. And again, there's somebody there that I think is exceptional. His name is Diego, and he is the head bartender. And, you know, he's created several cocktails, but the one that I go there for, that I literally, like, sometimes I think is, it's a cinnamon margarita.
What?
And it's got this, it's a cinnamon margarita. And it is like, it is just, it's so interesting because it manipulates like the spicy, like where you drink it and you don't know, is the spicy coming from the cinnamon part, like a cinnamon syrup, or is it coming from the actual like spice of a pepper? And it's the blend of it together. And then there's like the sweet, and it's just got a wonderful flavor. And, you know, of course I have that with mezcal. And it's one of my favorite cocktails. And so there's, you know, I think like, it's a very distinctive, like it's not your average margarita. I wouldn't even call it a margarita. I mean, they call it a cinnamon margarita, but it's anything but basic. So a margarita kind of feels like usually that's basic. And this is spectacular.
You know, New York isn't the only place in the country that has woken up to mezcal. In Southern Arizona, the Agave Heritage Festival takes place in Tucson, Arizona. But Los Angeles has more than its fair share of great mezcalera joints, including Las Perlas in the downtown historic core. And a lot has been written about Madre. And Madre, like the Cabinet, also boasts of having up to 400 bottles at a time to offer guests. And so someone might be saying, why would I need or want 400 mezcals to choose from? How different can they be? In fact, they're extraordinarily different because they literally represent everyone's intentional expression of their own mezcal legacy. Someone taught them and that's how they made it. And it could be as different as all the Bordeaux's in the Grand Cru Bordeaux's, right? You come from Bordeaux and people will prefer one house to another, one producer to another, because it's like a hand of a musician. The hand of the producer comes through. And it's interesting to see how much attention people are paying to this new category. Of course, it's booming. And when you have this much interest, invariably, people are inspired to get really creative, as Akash has been telling us about with the cinnamon margarita. One of the things that's so intriguing, too, about this time and place with the agave spirits and with mezcals is as we head into the summer, most of us know how to make a margarita, but not all of us have our own signature margarita. And I think one of the lessons from mezcal is to find your own style, your own signature style, the hand of the maker. You want to have such a great house drink in your own style, in your own hand, that when your friends come to your house for whatever event you might host, they look forward, oh, I hope she's going to make those cinnamon margaritas or mezcal Marias or something. I think it's imperative for each of us to find that thing into which we pour our intention for hospitality, into which we literally coax someone's expressions of hospitality and welcoming, so that when you come and I give you that first sip, you are so delighted and it's so delicious and it's so unique to me in my house or my place. How often, Akash, do you find that when you go somewhere that you really experience something like that, where it's a real signature expression of the person or the place?
Well, you know, I think you have to sometimes try a lot of things to figure that out. I was exploring an area that I wasn't familiar with within New York recently. And I started thinking about like, well, how would I find that thing? And I found a restaurant that looked like it had been there for many, many decades. And it was a Spanish restaurant. And then I had asked somebody another time nearby there, hey, have you ever been there? Is it really authentic? And then the person said, you know, yes, like their food's good. And so as you start trying to understand the story and like the history, right, of this particular place, let's say, then I want to know, well, what's their specialty? Like, do they do something that they've been doing? Because that becomes ceremonial. It becomes tradition. Just like mezcal, because of the fact that there's, you know, ceremony involved and there is a generational element. There is family involved. There's a lot of different things that connect it energetically. And I think, you know, that makes anything that's connected like that becomes extremely special.
Well, as we get ready to wrap up, it is Pride Month, and we would be remiss if we didn't fill in for Max pointing out that, in fact, this past weekend was Pride in Los Angeles. And the grand marshals for this year's Pride Parade were the comedian, the hysterical Margaret Cho. And there was a tribute to Emmy Award-winning actor Leslie Jordan, who passed away. And I think it's just appropriate that we say hello to all our friends in Los Angeles who are having a great big party this weekend and celebrating more than 50 years of LA Pride. And thank you to Margaret Cho for being the grand marshal. She was quoted as saying that we need this more than ever. And as New York prepares in 2 weeks to have the big festival, Boston hosted theirs this past week as well. We're reminded that the work's not over. It's certainly a fun party, and it's certainly a time to be made aware and fly rainbow flags over City Hall plazas and cities all over the country. But it's also an important point for activism, as politics and threats and changes at everything from local levels, where there's literally legislation in every state right now that affects the community of LGBTQ plus, and all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. When I ask you about what's going on in New York under the glow of the Empire State Building as Pride begins to percolate in the streets, what's the feeling in the street? What is the feeling in the air? I know you had big orange air from the Canadian wildfires earlier, so that's not what I mean. I literally am talking about, how does it feel as we get ready to celebrate Pride in New York? What are you seeing and hearing and feeling and smelling and tasting about getting ready for Pride in New York?
Tourism. I think it's something that has become so culturally relevant now in terms of like just awareness, that now like so many different companies and brands do different things to bring awareness and like also have fun and events and parties and just all kinds of events, right?
So like Target.
Yeah, like, but even like I saw something from McDonald's. Like, it's so many different brands that are trying to, you know, capture on like how to connect with people and different audiences. And I think I see that now, like on a real massive level now. It's not just even in New York. I think it's such a national and even international, right? Because New York brings a lot of foreign people all summer long, and you know, like there's a lot of different things to do, and there's a lot of different activities for different people of different ages and like different, you know, so much variety of activity.
And if there was going to be one cocktail that was going to be the Pride 23 New York cocktail, have you found it yet? And where would it be from?
Well, I think I would be biased because it would still be a mezcal cocktail. And I'll give you the one that I really am obsessed in. It really is for summer, because this comes out of a like a slushy kind of frozen cocktail machine. And it's made with really great premium ingredients. It's at a place called Silla Manana. And they give homage to kind of Baja California. They have a bunch of mezcals. They have a very good selection. And this is a hibiscus frozen drink.
Ooh, yum.
That has got mezcal in it. And so they serve it, you know, like in a, like it, I mean, it looks like a pina colada that's red, but it's way more because it's all, you know, made with love and real intention of fresh ingredients.
Well, some of the best cocktails right now are tea cocktails, and some of the best tea cocktails in the country are being made by the Genway Tea Company. and our friend Lisa Genoway. She brings her tea cocktail program to some of the best hotels in the world, including Four Seasons Hotels and Canyon Ranch Spa in Las Vegas. If you are in the mood and would like to satisfy your craving for a great summer cocktail and a tea cocktail at that, you can visit genwaytea.com. For everybody who is doing the non-alcohol program, we send you to our friends at choiceandco.com. Choice and Co. is the purveyor of irresistible adult beverages without alcohol. Mention that you listen to Max and Friends and use the code Tamron25 and you will get a $25 discount on your first purchase. And with that, we are getting ready to wrap up. Sam, thank you so much for manning the boards. Akash Patel, if there was one thing you've discovered this week that you want to turn everybody on to, is there something online in social media or in the metaphysical universe that you purvey your brand of luxury in? What would it be?
I think excitement is transformational. So my thing would be to figure it out for yourself what it is that excites you, right? And obviously we talked about mezcal being something that excites me. But what I'm really excited by right now is the bigger umbrella of plants, right? I think both from learning a lot more about cannabis as a plant and even hemp and all the different parts of it, and then also the agave plant as well, and now looking for some plants and also being obsessed with palm trees. I'm really interested in how, you know, green inside adds to well-being and peace.
Oh, I love that.
So that's kind of the thing that ties it all together. So I'm, you know, because if you think about, like, all of this comes from life and plants. And so that's the thing that I'm really interested in.
With that, Akash Patel, thank you so very much. I'm Jennifer English, wrapping up this edition of Sunday Suppers on Max and Friends. We'll be here for the next 11 weeks. And each and every week, we're going to be inviting the most interesting and influential tastemakers in America to join us right here at Max's Table. Because all are welcome at our table. Thanks for spending time with us. Cheers.
Thank you so much, Jennifer.